Okay, let's get cracking today. We are continuing in the second parak of Maseches Bikurim. Today we're learning Parak Beis Mishnah Ches and Parak Beis Mishnah Tes. Generally speaking, the Torah divides large animals into one of two categories. Category number one are behemos, domesticated animals, animals that are commonly raised by human beings, such as sheep, cattle, goats, and so on. The second category that we generally refer to when it comes to animals are chayos, wild animals, animals that are not commonly raised by human beings, but are generally speaking found in the wild, such as deer, gazelles, and so on. The following Mishnayos, as we finish off the second parak of Maseches Bikurim, is going to deal specifically with an animal known as a koi, whose classification is unknown. Is it more like a behema, like a domesticated animal, or is it more like a chaya, like a wild animal, as we're going to see? Now, a koi is really technically a cross either between a goat and a deer, or at least it bears similarities certainly to both goats and deer, as the Bar Tanura points out. So it's unclear exactly what the classification is, whether it's a behemoth, whether it's a chaya, or somewhere in between, as we're going to see in the coming Mishnayos. Says the Mishnah, koi yesh bo drachim shava l'chaya. There are ways in which a koi is similar to a chaya, to wild animals, as we're going to learn in the next Mishnah. V'yesh bo drachim shava l'behemoth, and there are ways in which a koi is similar to a behemoth, to a domesticated animal, as we're going to learn in Mishnah Yud. V'yesh bo drachim shava l'behemoth u'lechai, and there are ways in which that the koi is both like a behemoth and a chaya, like we're going to learn in Mishnah Yud Aleph. And v'yesh bo drachim she'eino shava lo behemoth v'lo b'lechaya, there are ways in which the koi is not like a behemoth or a chaya, also as we're going to learn in Mishnah Yud Aleph. Continuing now with Perek Beis Mishnah Tes. How is a koi similar to a chaya, similar to a wild animal? Says the Mishnah, Damo ta'un kisoy kedam chaya. That if a koi is shachta, its blood must be covered with earth, just like the blood of a chaya that is shachta. It must have kisoy kedam, you have to cover the blood with the earth. And when someone shachta kosher a chaya, or a bird, he's obligated to do what's referred to as kisoi hadam, to cover its blood with earth or something similar, the Torah describes in Sefer Vayikra. Now this mitzvah applies only to chayos and to birds, and not to behemos, not to domesticated animals. However, since a koi might be a chaya, its blood must be covered out of suffik when it is shechted. This is the concept of suffik d'araisa l'chumra, that in any case you have a doubt, you have a suffik on a d'araisa, on a Torah obligation, so you're machmer, you're strict, and as the Bar Tanura points out, that's why here we're unsure, there's a suffik, there's a doubt whether a koi is a chaya, and therefore we treat it like a chaya with regard to this mitzvah obligation of covering the blood. However, as the Bar Tanura points out, because the obligation to cover the koi's blood is based only on a suffik, the bracha for the mitzvah of kisoi hadam would not be said, because suffik brachos lahaka, when there's a doubt when it comes to brachos, we are lenient, we are not strict, and therefore we do not say the bracha in that situation. Continuing now in the Mishnah, ve'ein shochatin oso biyom tov, one may not slaughter a koi on Yontif, v'im shchato in mechasin es damo, and if one did shecht a koi on Yom Tov, one may not cover up his blood. Although the halacha is that slaughtering an animal is a malacha, it's one of the forbidden acts that you're not allowed to do, generally speaking, on Shabbos or Yontif. You are allowed to shecht an animal for food on Yontif, because anything related to food preparation on Yontif is permitted, is allowed. However, if someone slaughters a chaya or a bird on Yontif, and thereby becomes obligated to cover its blood, he can't use the earth, you can't use the dirt for that purpose, because moving the soil, moving dirt, moving earth is forbidden under the halachos of muktam. Dirt is considered to be muktam Shabbos, therefore you can't use it for kiso hadam. It is permitted, though. How do you do it when you shech the animal on Yontif for food? You are allowed to cover the blood with ash taken from one's oven, as Rashi points out in Maseches Beitza. This ash is not considered to be muksa because it was presumably designated, it was prepared, it was given the status by the owner before Yontif for this very purpose of covering the blood of an animal that was shechted. Nevertheless, however, the ash may not be used for a koi, because it is assumed that the owner designated it only for a regular chai whose blood definitely needs to be covered, and not for a koi whose blood needs to be covered only out of suffik. So the Mishnah therefore teaches that a koi should not be shecht on Yontif, because you won't be able to fulfill the obligation of kisoi hadam, of covering its blood. And again, as the Bar Tanura points out, even if someone transgressed the law and did shecht it, he may not blood, cover the blood on Yontif because of this situation. Continuing in the Mishnah, as the Mishnah says, Vechelbo mitame betumas neve lukechaya. And the fat, the chelev, the term fat specifically refers to the layer of hard fat that surrounds the stomachs, the loins, and the kidneys of an animal. So you have the fat of a dead koi. It does transmit tumma of nevela, just like the fat of a dead chaya transmit the tumma of nevela. Again, a nevela is a dead animal, other than a kosher animal that was slaughtered through shechita. A nevela is a source of tumma, but there's a difference whether the nevela is from a kosher behema and the nevela of a kosher chaya. In the case of a kosher behema that died, although most of its body transmits tumma, its fat is not tame at all. However, with regard to a kosher chaya, the entire body, including the fat, transmits tumma, transmits impurity. The fat of a koi transmits tumma like the fat of a chaya, since a koi might be a chaya. Nevertheless, its tumma is not certain, given the possibility that a koi is a behemoth whose fat is not tame. So again, this is a tumma bisafik. As the Mishnah says, v'tumma so bisafik, and its tumma, the tumma of a dead koi's fat is based on safik, and therefore it's going to be treated as such. Finishing off the Mishnah, v'ein podin bo peter chamor, and you can't redeem a firstborn donkey with a koi, because a firstborn donkey can be redeemed only with a sheep or a goat, and a koi might be a chaya rather than a sheep or a goat. Like we learned previously, the Torah commands the owner of a firstborn male child of a donkey to redeem it by giving a sheep or a goat to a kohen. But even if a koi is a cross between a sheep and a deer, it may not be used for this purpose, because it might belong to the halachic category of a deer, of a chaya, and then you wouldn't be allowed to use it for the purposes of Peter Chamor. Quick review, Perek Beis, Mishnah Ches, just sort of set the stage for us and described that a koi is like a chaya in some respects, like we learned in the next Mishnah. It's like a behema in other respects, like we're going to learn in the next Mishnah. And then it's also not like a chaya or a behema in some respects, and it's also like both a chaya and a behema in other respects. And then Perek Beis, Mishnah Tes, discuss exactly how a koi is like a chaya in terms of the Kisoy Hadam, in terms of the Shechting on Yom Tov, and so on and so forth, in terms of the status of its fat, in terms of Peter Chamor, which cannot be redeemed on, and so on and so forth. Have a great day.